For our next speaker, you may all be familiar with TalkSport, which is one of the world's largest sports radio stations, part of UTV Radio Great Britain. UTV operates 13 local radio stations in England and digital multiplexes throughout the UK. And we've got a presentation on audio brand building in a digital market. And presenting that presentation will be the managing director of TalkSport. And let's welcome him, Callum McCauley.
Which clicker one is PC or Mac?
Say that again.
PC either. Or Mac.
Okay. Good afternoon. Listen, I'm Scottish, and when I get excited, I speak very quickly, so put your hand up and just wave, it all gets too much for you. Let me give you my thoughts on how to build a brand in a digital world. I'm on screen. And I'll share how we go about it with TalkSport, which is now, as was referenced, the world's largest sports radio station. So the title, Building Brands in a Digital World, suggests something might have changed, but I'm not sure anything has changed as to how you build a brand. There are more platforms, more media choices, and people are consuming media in different ways. But the principles behind building a brand remain, whether you're an audio brand like TalkSport, or an FMCG brand, or a financial brand. I think your product remains key to what you do. What you promote is important and why you're promoting it. And the place you promote it is key to make sure you're building brand exposure in the right places. And look, all of these P's are in any classic marketing handbook. So the digital world is quite scary, and you get scared. Sometimes people talk about shareability and stuff like that, like it's some great new concept. But actually, it's always been there in many, many media, and particularly radio. And there'll be people in this room, I hope, Don Thompson, you're probably one of them, who can remember sitting around with a load of friends at school at 1 o'clock listening to the countdown to the new Top 20 in Radio 1. So brilliant shared experiences and highly personal. And radio has been the master at creating shared experiences and shared emotion for years. So I remember when the Dunblane tragedy took place in 96, and the day after getting a call from a friend of mine who knew about my family connections there, and he asked if I'd heard Chris Evans on Virgin Radio that morning, and I said, no, I hadn't. And he told me that Chris Evans had said that that morning there would be no jokes and no fun and no laughter, as it was not the time, and he just played the music. And 2 million plus listeners would be sharing in that emotion and that sense of national despair and shock. And the reason... The reason I mention all that is that some of you may be aware that we're about to launch 3 new DAB-only radio stations into the UK marketplace next spring. These being Top Radio, TalkSport 2 and Virgin Radio, which will sit alongside TalkSport, the main brand. And one really interesting thing struck me from the research we did for the new licences, and that was despite the fact that Virgin Radio had not actually broadcast in the UK since 2008, 71% of all respondents thought the station was still broadcast. I mean, it's phenomenal, 71%. But Virgin was still going. So for a station that hasn't broadcast for the best part of 8 years in the UK, it's quite remarkable. Now, some of that may be the fact that Virgin as a brand remains recognised in the UK through other activity in finance, travel, broadband and so forth. But I'd wager the real reason is a presenter factor. And that for me is the power of the product and the presenter, which primarily at that time was Chris Evans. And his personality created a strong audio brand, which at its peak was pulling in 3.7 million listeners every week. So that's all about getting the product and the personality right for an audio brand. And I'd argue that was the case in 96, and it's still the case now. And maybe that's why the streaming services are now bringing presentation of the music, the presentation of the music and presenters into their offering. I noticed from this morning's presentation, Spotify is positioning itself as a radio brand, which is a very interesting development. So my point being that whilst new technologies have created new platforms to share the experience, the technology itself does not create the experience. It enables it. And it's the story you create through words and through songs and feelings and sentiment that I think create the shared experience, but that's always been the case. And although I've said I don't think anything's really changed in a digital world to change how you build brands, actually there's something that's happened. And that's the fact that the paths to reach consumers can be cheaper, but also that digital technologies have created far more opportunity, I think, for your consumers to engage with you. So in other words, there's a much clearer return path now. They will engage back with you, but only if the brand content that you're asking them to engage with is right. So to build brands in a digital world, the non-music content will become increasingly important to differentiate and create USPs in the marketplace. Your technology or your design is always like to get caught up, but it's very difficult to replicate great talent and creativity and humour, all things that I think radio does brilliantly well. So this slide is making the point that ownership of content ensures uniqueness, it eliminates commercial restrictions in many cases, and also removes the expense of third-party royalties. So you see from the chart, if you go to the bottom left, we're just noting there the amount of original, unique content being produced. The Radio X Breakfast Show, Chris Moyles, producing around about 60% of content that's actually owned, it's unique. And the Top Sport Breakfast Show, because we're speech virtually all the time, we own about 100% of our content that is broadcast. So as I said, it's interesting that streaming brands such as Pandora and Spotify came to the market. Everyone's predicting the death of radio as we know it. As I mentioned earlier, what seems to be happening now is that brands such as Spotify are chasing live content, and Apple has good old-fashioned DJs appearing on their audio services. So in effect, they're becoming radio stations. So it's almost a full circle to create USPs through presenters and, importantly, particularly in our case, through live content. So the content between the songs is only the only significant difference between radio and, I think, alternative radio. And as Mark Ramsey says, you've got two tiers. You've got the cut-rate broadcasters pinning their hopes on the perfect music mix, and the more thoughtful brand-building broadcasters who want to create great and engaging radio. So for us, our Top Sport brand is driven entirely by our sports rights and by our talent and the fact that we're live 166 hours per week. If you've got the talent, my view is flaunt it. If you've got something you need to use to build your brand. So stepping aside from the product, let's move to promotion. And we've really spent time over the last few years building our digital and particularly our social assets. And as audio consumption moves heavily towards mobile and streaming, you have to be in a position to promote to that audience in the right place. And for me, there's loads of them hanging about in the social media sphere. In August, we had the highest number of unique users to our website at 6.7 million. And we've worked hard to attain the highest number of Twitter followers in commercial UK radio at over 800,000. And similarly, we've got, we're top of the charts with 1.8 million Facebook likes. And aside to that, we've also worked hard in building up a YouTube channel, which now has 450,000 subscribers. So all things that we just have to do, we're in the early stages of it. We're not the biggest resource radio company in the UK. We're up against two huge competitors with a much bigger budget. So we had to build our own routes to market. And we protect these social media assets fiercely. We do not commercialise them, use them for promotion. Commercialisation comes later when we pull the punters back to the site or the station. And when we are using paid-for marketing, we carefully target it to hit very specific groups of sports fans with a very tailored message. So in a digital world, my view is it's very easy to get distracted into doing things which feel like the right thing to do, but actually don't do anything to build the brand. So I'd work hard at the things you're good at and work hard on the content that your audience wants and knows you for. So I'll give you an example using some of Top Sport's content as to how we use these assets to build the brand. And the example used the recent Brendan Rodgers sacking as manager. He was manager of Liverpool. He got fired out one Sunday evening about 6 o'clock. And we broke the story, as you expect, on air virtually immediately.
I'm just hearing also that Liverpool have just announced that manager Brendan Rodgers has left the club with immediate effect. We'll bring you more on that story throughout the evening and indeed on the press pass and ahead at 7 o'clock here on Talk Sport.
Okay, but at the same time, we're a radio station, but we're also really working these social media channels hard. We posted on Twitter within minutes. We had an online news story running up there. And we also, in Facebook, was the right medium for it, carried the visuals of Thierry Henry's reaction to the story. So we're working all of the channels. We're online, we're working on air, we're working the Twitter channel, and we're working Facebook all the time. So we posted that within minutes. So we're engaging with the fans on the station on air throughout the evening and also on our social channels throughout the evening, gaining instant feedback and reaction. We're curating the mood of the fans and pushing that back out to the audience to grow and build the fans further. As the story developed, we then created authority around it, which is one of our important brand values, both on air and an exclusive interview with ex-Liverpool player John Barnes, which she posted on the website, and then started pushing both the audio plus the write-up of that story online itself. I won't play the whole of that, I'll keep going because of time. By Monday, we're into the analysis stage. The jokes are flying in, so we reflect on the left-hand side. We're curating all the Man United reaction, which they were absolutely delighted the fact that Brendan Rodgers had been there and he was a Man United hero. But we're also at the same time as reflecting the humour, creating more authority around the story with a piece of our own analysis on the five key players that he would regret letting go. You then come into the speculation by the Tuesday replacement managers were being speculated on with Jurgen Klopp as the front runner. So this is running on air in all shows, but we create authority around the brand as well with an exclusive interview with ex-Liverpool player Stevie Nicol, giving an exclusive interview on the website, and albeit we're keeping the humour up by curating and posting the best of the vines.
That's it. I'm from my redundant. Yeah.
Okay, so we're pulling all it together and just making it very easy for people to interact and engage with us. By Wednesday, we're bringing continued authority to the story with another exclusive interview, this time with Champions League winner Didi Amann, who's a presenter on the station, but also played and worked under Jurgen Klopp. And we push that audio, we push it via text, we push it across the Facebook site. So using all these channels to keep building the audience, bring them back in either into the site or into the station where we could commercialise them. But importantly, in terms of building the brand in a digital world...
You'll get an honest assessment.
I'll keep going. We're building reach, and these exclusive interviews are getting picked up in the national press, the Daily Star, also in the Evening Standard that day as well. And then we finally get to the point where Klopp's announced as Liverpool manager, and we announce it on air immediately. We're live at the press conference, so building that authority again. And the audio and written reporting is all over the station, on the website, and across all of our social channels. So what we're trying to do in all of this, and this is just a small snapshot of what goes on, we're trying to own the story, keep pushing out to punters and pulling more people back in through sharing. But at the same time as giving the authority and the seriousness around the story, we're also keeping one of Top Sport's other brand values with a sense of humour quite alive by building a piece of content on our YouTube channel, which hopefully entertains, hopefully is engaging and is very, very shareable.
I don't want to describe Schnell, he's a good linebacker. Ein guter Fußballspieler, der im Moment ist. Er kann, davon gehe ich jetzt mal aus. Alles klar. Er hat gestern nicht wegen seiner Wade nicht trainiert, sondern weil er einer viel angenehmeren Aufgabe nachgekommen ist. Es gibt eine Regel. Ja, geboren in Dortmund. Jetzt wird er seinem Namen gerecht. Nein, wir haben noch keinen Kontakt gelassen. Väter dann auch. Es scheint im Olympischen Neuväter nicht so Usus zu sein. Usus zu sein.
Okay, so it's probably about 10% of the content we built and pushed out, but you get the view of what we're doing all the time is consistently building authority around sport, we're building the immediacy of what we do, and we're keeping the Top Sport brand value of humour. And nothing's changed from 30 years ago. You're just sticking to your brand values and pushing them out, albeit across different channels in a more digitalised world. So I mentioned consistency, and the video you've just seen is one of our translator videos, and that's something we've developed and become known for over the years. And that particular video did 250,000 views on YouTube. And the video content market is really interesting as a brand building route in a digital world, mainly because so many companies are doing it, and many, many of them doing it badly. And why are they doing it? Well, I think it's this thing called FOMO, which the older ones in the audience is fear of missing out. Because everyone's nervous about not having content. Production costs have plummeted, so everybody can do it. Everyone can do it very cheaply. I mean, really cheaply, but why and for what purpose? Like most things, you have to have an idea, some creativity, and something to stand out from the crowd. Last week, I reviewed 100 videos posted on a car manufacturer's website. And these 100 videos, so it was on the YouTube site, and these 100 videos had attracted 340,000 views. And there's hundreds more sitting in this YouTube channel. But assuming a couple of grand per video, or 1,500 quid, and based on the number of views achieved, it's working out around £600 cost per 1,000 impacts, which is staggering, even compared to London peak TV standards. So you'd probably be cheaper and more cost-effective driving around and visiting everybody in person. There's little creativity around this stuff, and the only videos that did do well were those with a semblance of an idea or a well-known face. So my point being, why not do a quarter of the number of videos, or maybe just do one really engaging piece of content like this, which is the Honda Paper ad. Albeit it's a massive TV ad in the States, but it's a fantastic piece of content. 4.5 million views on the Honda YouTube channel, and it's doing 13 to 14 times more views than the other guy's 100 videos. So the cost of making the Honda Paper ad, I don't know, maybe 300,000, 400,000. Even at the higher end, it works at a cost per 1,000 views of around £50, so much more cost-effective and absolutely right on brand for Honda. They've got loaded low-viewed piece of content as well, so it must be some obsession that drives marketeers to keep creating this stuff. But the paper ad is brilliant. When you look around the brand websites and the YouTube channels, it sort of feels like any stuff will do, so long as it's stuff, and it's stuff they can point to and say, there's some stuff. So to head towards conclusion, in relation to brand building and digital world, I love the piece from Dave Trott in Campaign the other week on the same subject, when he said that previously the most important thing was to solve a business problem, then work out what contribution marketing can make to that, then have advertising deliver that solution in the most impactful way. So that was a big idea, and that would change behaviour. He's making the point rightly that there's a shift in emphasis now that we'll establish the delivery system first before worrying about the idea. And because the idea is wrapped up in the notion that it's all content, and all content must be good, and that any content is better than none, well, I don't think it is. And I think it wastes a lot of money, wastes a lot of time, and actually won't build your brand. So in a digital world, you have to stay focused to your brand strengths and amplify them. And just because you can do or create something doesn't mean you have to. If you can, own and create content and then use that to build your brand. I think it's really easy to get distracted, and unless you keep your brand building focused on the basic principles, the old adage that I know 50% of my advertising isn't working, I just don't know which 50% will change to I know that 80% of advertising isn't working, and I suspect I know the reason why. Thanks for listening.